This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Jason and Liz Burns in Access Church in Lakeland and Bartow, Florida. For more information, visit access.tv.
So excited to be here with you. For those who don't know me, my name is Derek. I am the Bartow location pastor here at Access, and I'm so pumped to be here. I want to look right in the camera. I want to welcome everybody who's worshiping online with us, everybody at our North location and our Bartow location. Bartow, I love you. We'll be back next week. Can we welcome everybody to church this morning? Whew. So pumped. I want to give you a couple updates about how Bartow is going. Been launched for about 5 months, and it's just things are happening, and God is moving. And we've seen 50 salvations since the launch. Come on. So good. 50 people coming to the Lord. After next week, Baptism Sunday, very excited. We'll have baptized 27 people, and so excited for what God is doing, and very pumped. And then also, very excited about this one. August 20th, we are launching youth at Bartow. So that'll mean youth at all three locations, and what God is doing in the next generation is unbelievable. And so I'm so excited for what God is doing and what he's continuing to do. Hey, before we jump into it, I do want to thank each and every one of you and everybody that it calls Access their home, because without y'all sending people with us to Bartow and allowing Bartow to experience what Access and what God is doing through Access. And so I thank you for every person that's prayed, every person that's sown into what God is doing and has gone with us. It's making an impact in Bartow and the cities around us. I also want to honor our amazing pastors, Pastor Jason and Pastor Liz. Come on, can we honor them? They are the best of the best. And we get to do this because of the vision, the hard work of, and their prayers of focusing of what God is doing. So I'm so pumped. I hope you have enjoyed this series. I love this series. I'm going to do the third installment of what we call Two Lies and a Truth. And if you don't know about this game, it's an icebreaker game, and it's a spin off of Two Truths and a Lie. And the goal of this is to take two truths about yourself and kind of make it seem so outrageous they might seem like a lie. And the other one is a lie, and you kind of want to make it kind of, you know, almost a truth so that people assume that that's the truth. So let's try real quick. Here's mine. I am left-handed. Okay, second one is I'm the better-looking location pastor. Now, hold on. By the fact that you laughing makes me think you think that one's the lie, and I'm a little bit offended. And the last one is my favorite condiment is mayo. I'm going to give you a second, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that my favorite condiment is not mayo. And if you've been a part of Access Church, you realize that Pastor Jason hates the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, I hate mayo more than he hates the Philadelphia Eagles. And so you know that that is crazy. But I love you, Isaiah. I love you. But, you know, my wife tells me I'm the better looking location pastor. So that's all that matters. And so the idea of this series is this, is to get to a point where you can take the lies that the enemy plants in our life and break down that stronghold. The enemy does a really good job of coming to you. And here's this. He doesn't like to come and attack when you're around people worshiping Jesus. He always seems to find you on the brink of a failure, on the brink of something in your life, and he comes and he just starts to plant seeds of doubt, seeds of failure, seeds of you're not good enough. And John chapter 8 speaks to this, and I hope today we can walk away with this verse in our heart. It says this, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. So my prayer today is for us to dig into his word, abide in his truth, and walk out of here free. Can we do that today? I hope so today. So today, I'm going to unpack three things. The three things is this. We're going to unpack two lies and one truth. The first one is this, and tell me if you ever felt like this, I am not qualified. You ever just felt that in your life? You felt like the life that you're living, the things that you've done, you just don't feel like you're qualified to take that step. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe you've gone through next steps and you feel like you should take a step and do something for the body of Christ and you just don't feel qualified. What about this one? You ever feel like I'm too far gone to be used by God? Come on, I feel that. Sometimes the enemy tries to plant that while I'm getting ready to come up and preach. You're too far. You're not good enough. Pastor Jason is so much better, which he is. He's the best of the best. But sometimes those lies, right? The plant that the enemy does is tries to make you feel like, man, what you've done in your past doesn't allow you to step into the fullness of God. And today, the truth that I want us to stand on is this: I am who he says I am. Can we say that out loud? I am who he says I am. Let's pray and let's get to work. Father, we thank you for today, Lord. I pray for these next few moments, Lord, that we will just give everything to you. Just like what John 8 said, or what the Bible said, Father, that we're going to abide in the truth. We're going to abide in you, God. And that when we walk out of here, we will find freedom, God. We love and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Have you ever been in a moment in your life where you've seen something play out in your head? Like maybe you thought of a trip that you wanted to take, or maybe you thought of a business idea, or maybe you thought of how you thought your summer was going to look like in your head, but then when it played out in reality, it was completely different. You ever experienced that? Like you just think, man, this is how it's going to be. And then when you go to actually live out that experience, it's nothing like that. I'm going to show you a photo of what I thought my vacation was going to look like. And I hope that you're laughing that the shark looks fake, because that right there, I mean, AI is doing some great things, but that's a spitting image of me. And the laughing hurts my feelings. But in my mind, we take a trip, not in my mind, we take a trip every year to the shark bite capital of the world. Come on, anybody know what that is? New Smyrna Beach. I'm born and raised in Central Florida. That's the beach I've always gone to. And every year we go there for the last week of school, before school starts. And we have this great idea. Come on, parents, you might be able to relate to me. I know Bartow can. We had this idea to go to the beach and then fish. I like fishing. Come on, anybody fish? Yeah, come on. I like fishing by myself. Anybody fish with three children? Yeah, you know the pain. I thought I was gonna get to fish, but in reality, all I was doing was taking hooks out of themselves and each other. I was untangling a fishing line. I was baiting the hook. There was moments where I would like bait the hook, they'd cast, and the shrimp would fly off. And I'm like, this is gonna be all day. And so in reality, I let them fish. And I'm like, all right, guys, promise me this. Catch something, I'll use it as bait, and then I'm gonna go shark fish. And like in reality, I'm thinking, this is already happening. This is what's gonna happen. I'm like, we're gonna go tonight. I'm gonna land Jaws. It's gonna be amazing. So every year I catch something. And this year, I just wanna tell you, I went 0 for 3. 0 for 3, it went nothing. I'm gonna show you how it actually looked. This is how it actually looked. The people were so not concerned of me catching fish that they were boogie boarding right in front of me. It's a sign of disrespect, right? These two girls, I thought they were gonna take photos of my Jaws experience. They were taking selfies for Instagram. My mom was so disinterested, she was scrolling Facebook and TikTok the entire time, and my kids have left me. And in this moment, I'm like, this is not how I thought it was going to be. I'm sitting there on the shore of my failure, and my beautiful daughter, yes, it was the same one that was standing there, shoeless, up here on the stage. Welcome to Bartow. I love you. We just wanted to bring some Bartow to you. And she comes up to me and she goes, Daddy, it's all right. And I'm like, oh. She goes, I still love you. And I was like, oh. And immediately I texted my wife. I said, take the two kids out of the wheel, double portion for my daughter, because she is the best. But maybe the fishing is fun. It's a joke. It's not a joke. It happened. But maybe you can't relate to that. Maybe in reality, your failure or your disqualified looked a little bit like standing on a stage like this, saying your vows to your spouse and it not turning out the way you thought it was. Maybe you thought what you had this idea of getting married and what your career, what your job was gonna look like, what the future relationship was gonna look like. Maybe you had moments of dreaming about what it's all gonna look like, and in reality, it didn't turn out anything like the picture. See, what happens is, if we're not careful, the same enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy loves to plant thoughts in those moments. Like I said before, he doesn't come when you're prepared, when you're with the body of Christ, worshiping, thinking about Jesus, praising Jesus. He doesn't come in those moments. He comes in those moments where you're on the shores of your failures thinking, this is not what I signed up for. So many times I can see people not step in to what God has for them because they don't feel qualified. They don't feel like God loves them because of what they've done. Today, what I want us to unpack is that you are who he says you are, and that's final. Nothing else matters. If you're taking notes, pull them out. First one that we're gonna unpack here, we're gonna take a bird's eye view, a 30,000 foot view of the life of Peter, how he was called, some things he went through, and then where Jesus sent him off to do what Peter did. If you write it down, it says this: God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Very churchy statement. If you've been a part of church, you've probably heard this before, but doesn't make it any less impactful. I want you to think about that. That he doesn't wait around for your resume to be built. He doesn't wait around for that degree to happen. He doesn't wait around for you to finally feel like you're good enough. When he calls you, he's qualified you. And when you step out in faith and do the things that God has asked you to do, he's going to equip you every step of the way. Matthew chapter 4, this is where Jesus calls Peter. It says this in verse 18: while they were walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Next slide. And he said to them, follow me, I will make you fisher of men. I love this part. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. Luke's gospel, when he writes this, he will talk of them going fishing, coming back with nothing. They're already cleaning their nets when Jesus shows up. And Jesus says, hey, go back out deeper and cast it in. And it says that they brought a haul in that was so large. And to think about that they failed and succeeded. Jesus equips them. And then I love this. It says that they left everything to follow Jesus. What did they see in Jesus that was so much better than their business being blessed? Than everything working out in that moment? Then finally clicking in your mind, like maybe this guy is going to change everything. About 2 years later, in Matthew chapter 16, this is where Jesus is called Peter. He's walking with Peter. He's doing some things. He's seen some things. He's seen some amazing miracles happen. He's seen some things happen. And this is a moment where Peter's made some failures, but Jesus takes a moment to look into Peter's life and to speak into his life something that Peter doesn't see about himself. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, he said this. He said to them, but who do they say that I am? Peter muscles up the strength and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him saying, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven did. Listen to this. And I tell you, you are Peter, Petros, the rock. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's looking at Peter. He's looking past everything he's already seen him do. He's looking past everything that he's going to do. And he's calling Peter into something greater than Peter knows about himself. If you're taking notes still with me, second thing is this: failures don't define me. Come on, failures do not define you. There's a difference, because they want to define you, but they don't have to define you. At a young age, I was at a youth camp, and the college pastor or the youth pastor prayed over me, and he looked at me and he said, I really feel like God is using you, and he's gonna use you in ministry to preach and to talk. And I'm looking around like, not me. I don't like talking in front of people. I don't even like people in that moment. And I like people now, obviously. But I remember him saying that to me, and I was like, so I filed it away. And to be honest with you, I ran from it. I did everything in my power to not do what people told me that God is calling me to do. There was a moment that added fuel to that fire. Was my beautiful wife and I got asked at the time. She broke up with me, hurt my heart. We were dating, childhood sweethearts. But she broke up with me, and we got asked to do a wedding. And I was the best man, and she was the maid of honor. And so me being so smart, I said, all right, I'm gonna make you a deal. Whoever gets the most applause in this speech, if I win, I get to take you out on a date. And I was like pumped, right? I was like, all right, I'm going to bring the best, right? She goes first, she kills it. I mean, people are clapping, people are crying, people are sobbing. They start passing around an offering plate. I was like, this is not church, people. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I know she's good. Then she does this. She looks at me and she goes, your turn. And I'm like, oh. She hands me the mic, and I'm so nervous. I'm squeezing it so tight that the plastic shell cracks. It starts feeding back. My hands are shaking. This hand that's holding, you know, the little glass of champagne is shaking so bad, it's bubbling out of the glass. By the time I say cheers, there's nothing in the glass. And I'm like, to marriage. I failed. I didn't get the date then, but I got the wife later. Amen. So God works in the end. Come on, thank you for that. So he does turn my failures into future promises. Amen. But there was that moment where I got asked after, about 2 years later, I had an uncle that had a church, and he asked me, would you start and help us do the youth ministry? And in that moment, the only thing I could get through my head was my hand shaking so bad talking in front of people. That being so afraid to step in because of the failures, because of the fear. And one thing I had to realize is that failures don't define me, but failures can fuel you. You could get to a place where you can do it even when you might feel afraid. And I remember that first moment, I had sat on my hands on a stool. I had the mic in a mic stand. I had 4 pages of notes. I went through it in like 4 minutes flat. I just flew through it, but I did not stop. I got back up every week to make sure that I was gonna walk this out. Failures don't have to define you. Peter had a few failures, if to be honest. But one of the big ones is this. Shortly after Jesus calls Peter, the rock, I'm gonna build my church on you, Peter tries to change the whole plans. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking about he's gonna die, he's gonna resurrect, he's going to heaven, he's gonna be seated on the throne, and Peter's like, Jesus, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, can you just stay here? We can kind of hang out, do our things. And in that same, like literally a few days later, Peter looks at him, or Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. Another one is the one that he always gets kind of, you know, hit, you know, like made fun of is the getting out of the boat moment, the walking on water. He gets out, he takes that step of faith, he looks at Jesus, everything's going good. He takes his eyes off, he begins to sink, and Jesus looks at him and says, oh, ye of little faith. And here's the biggest one, one of the ones we're gonna spend a little time on, is the one where Peter denies Jesus. This one was the icing on the cake. This was the one that hit the hardest, because Peter was the type of guy that would just speak before he thinks. That's why I can relate to him. That's what my wife says as well. But you get to this place where Peter is just, he thinks after he says things. And so Jesus says, hey, there's gonna be a moment where one of you denies me. And he's like, not me. I'm going to go to the ends of the earth. I'm gonna die for you. That is not me, Jesus. And Jesus actually looks at Peter and says, before the end, you will deny me 3 times. The weight of that feeling. So fast forward, Jesus goes and he gets taken away and people start to recognize Peter. Hey, aren't you that guy? You're the guy that's been walking with him. You're the guy that's been following him. You're the guy that's been doing some things with him. And Peter would be like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. The Bible even will go on to say that he actually added profanity to the story so that he could create such a separation between him and Jesus. So it wasn't just like, I don't know the guy. He wanted to create so much separation between him and Jesus. There's 2 more times, the rooster crows, and he did exactly what he thought he wasn't gonna do. In his mind, he thought, I'll stand up for Jesus. I'll go to the ends of the earth. I'll be a faithful disciple. And what happens? He fell into the trap of failure. So what do you do? Ask that question. What do? When you feel like you're doing the things that God's asked you to do, when you feel like you are on mission, when you feel like you're doing things and you fail, I can tell you what Peter does. John chapter 21, we're gonna hang out here for just a minute. John chapter 21, what does Peter do? Peter goes fishing. Peter goes back to the thing that Jesus called him out of. Peter goes back to the thing that he thinks he can do himself. Peter goes back to the things where he doesn't necessarily need Jesus to be a part of because he can do it by himself. He feels like I might fail as being a disciple. I might fail as doing some of these things that God wants me to do, but I can fish. I can handle that myself. I can go back fishing. He goes on to say that I'm going fishing, and here's the disciples. The disciples said to him, We will go with you. One thing you gotta realize is when you are called by God, the calling doesn't go away because you don't feel like you're good enough to do it. Just because you don't feel equipped, just because you don't feel good enough, Jesus doesn't just take the calling away. Peter goes back to fishing. Peter goes back to the thing that God called him out of, and people are still following Peter. Why? Because God's calling and God's giftings is not dependent on how good you are and the things that you can bring to the table. When he calls you and qualifies you, it doesn't go away. And so Peter goes back to his failure, goes back to the thing, and people are still following him. But I love this. It says they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Can you imagine this? You ever had that moment? You're like, God, what are you trying to tell me? I do this and I fail. I do this and I fail. Peter's like, I failed at being a disciple. Now I'm failing at being a fisherman. God, what do you want from me? You ever been there? Ever been in that moment where you just don't understand? And in those moments, if we're not careful, failures will speak so loud. The lies of the enemy that you're not qualified, you're not good enough, you'll never make it, speak so loud. What we have to do in this moment is realize that we have the ability to believe what's being said or to believe what God has already said to us. The story goes on. It says this, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore of Peter's failures. And yet the disciples did not know who it was. Jesus said, children, do you have any fish? This would have been a statement that they heard before. This would have been a statement that they heard back when Jesus was calling them to be a disciple. Do you have any fish? And they say, no. He says, cast your nets to the other side. And in this moment, they catch a large haul. And I love what the Bible continue on to say. Is that Jesus blesses Peter's failures, blesses his boats, and Peter will jump into the water to swim after it because now they realize that's Jesus. Jesus showed up on the shore of my failures, the shore of my not ability to do what he's asked me to do, and here he is. And can I be honest with you, as a parent, if I was reading this story the way I parent sometimes, by the way I do things, if I had a moment where I told my kids, don't do that, and they do it, and then they find out that I was right, you know what my first statement would be? Told you so. And so I can imagine Peter coming up out of the water, and I can only imagine, just like the prodigal son preparing the speech to tell this guy, I'm sorry, he's coming up like, God, Jesus, I know, I failed you 3 times. I failed you. And he's waiting for Jesus to go, I told you so. You should have listened. You should have listened. But Jesus doesn't do that. Man, if you're taking notes, if you're in an argument with your wife, you're in an argument with your spouse, you want to know what fixes everything, it's about what Jesus is about to do in verse 12. He says that Jesus cooked Peter breakfast. Write that down. Cook your wife breakfast. Come on. All the ladies said, amen. Unless you can't cook. Then DoorDash, but smarter. But Jesus doesn't take the time to tell Peter, bro, I told you, you failed. He takes the time to equip and restore Peter back, which is my third point if you're writing things notes down. God's restoration has no boundaries. He didn't sit there and go, Peter, You pulled the last straw. The walking on water, I'll give you that. The denying me 3 times, like I'll give you that one. No, God looked past all of that. Jesus looked past all of that and said, Peter, it's the famous part, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? See, here's the thing about Jesus. He's not asking Peter so that Jesus could feel good that finally he understands Peter loves him. He's saying this over and over again for Peter to realize who he was. Peter, you're the rock. I built my church on this. And all 3 times, Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. And all 3 times, Jesus says, the same idea is to get up and go do what I've asked you to do then. Go feed my sheep. Go tend to the lambs. Go do something. Don't go back to the thing that I've called you out of. Go forward to the things that I'm calling you to. Don't sit in your failures any longer. Don't have a pity party. You can have one every now and then, but you don't have to camp out in them. You can get to a place where you walk into what God has for you. Fourth and final is this, if you're taking notes. Your history doesn't hinder your purpose. Your history doesn't hinder your purpose. What did Jesus see when he called Peter the rock? That I'm gonna build my church on you. Jesus saw a few months after the breakfast scenario, after Peter denies Jesus, there's a famous passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2. If you've read this, you can go read this on your own, take these notes down. It's called the Day of Pentecost. Now Jesus will have died, he will have been ascended, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and now what is happening is people are dying for talking about the resurrection. They're dying for standing up for Jesus. And Acts chapter 2 is a story with the disciples, and people are hiding out in a room. God sends his Holy Spirit down and it fills the room, and people have power. They walk out these doors, amidst Peter especially walks out these doors into potentially his death, potentially into failing again. And the Bible says in verse 41 that he stands up in front of everybody and proclaims the good news of who Jesus is. Verse 41 says that after that, 3,000 people were added. You got hyped over 50 in Bartow, and I'll get hyped over one person in Bartow, but 3,000 people got saved that day. Why? Because Peter decided that fishing is for the past. That I might not be good at it all the time, but God has called me to be what? A fisher of men. And if I don't do what he's asked me to do, I'm gonna live in regrets. I'm gonna go run back to my failures all the time. I'm gonna not feel whole. I'm not gonna feel complete. And so I gotta get up and do what God has asked me to do. I gotta be who he said I am, not what the world tells me I am, not what my failures tell me that I am. This last year, we moved up here from Central Florida to Bartow around Christmas time. It was a big change for our family, but we knew it was on mission. We knew God has asked us to do it, and we were so excited to be here. One of the big changes was for my kids. They had structure, they had all these things, and so moving to Bartow, I was a little concerned for them, but my son played for Bartow Little League, and he jumped right in, and I was so proud of him because he did what he's always done. He's just showed up and been a leader, and he got asked to be on the All-Star team, and they had a really good run. They made it all the way to the state championship game and things were going great. And there was a moment in this that every father, Bartow, you understand this because you were probably there, but there's a moment in a baseball game where all of it hangs on this one moment. Brody was up to bat. They were down 3-2. There was two outs. It was the last inning. If you don't know baseball, you can Google it later. But this was a big moment. Brody has the ability to hit a ball and drive in the two runs, and then we're gonna have a parade. I'm gonna run around the field with my shirt over my head, which is not a good sight. AI can't fix that. but there was a moment where I was like, this is it. Like, he's gonna win. It's gonna be amazing. Things are gonna be happy. And so I do what every parent does. Come on, Bartow, you know this. You start pacing behind the dugout as if like you pacing is gonna allow him to hit the ball any further. And I'm nervous. First pitch was high. It was late. The umpire's ready to leave. It was high. Brody swung at it, foul tip. And I took a breath. I was like, all right, not gonna lie. I said a prayer. God, if you love me, let him hit this ball. Like, I believe in prayer. God, can you do this? Second pitch, high. He doesn't swing. Strike two. I'm losing my mind, right? I'm like, I gotta compose this. I'm a pastor, but I can't. I want to fight this umpire. And so my boy, Roy Sterner, he was at the game, and so he was ready to fight. And I'm like, all right, buddy, your battle. You go do it. Strike three, ball's high, he swings. Strike three, you're out. Game's over. State championship over. The new kid that just showed up lost the game. In my mind, as a father, I am a million pieces. I'm crumbled, I'm scared for him, I'm sad for him. But I had one decision, because I watched my son's body language, head drops, bat in his hand, drags it as he's walking off the field. And in that moment, I felt like God said, you have the ability to speak into this, or you have the ability to let it speak into him. And so I did what any dad would do. I busted through the gate. I walk in, it was like a Terminator movie. I walked in, I looked right at him. I grabbed his head. I said, son, I want you to look me in the eyes. I said, this moment does not define you. I said, you are gonna play baseball. You are gonna strike baseball. You are gonna fail more than you succeed. You are gonna have a moment again where you are on this field and you are swinging. You're gonna hit the ball and you're gonna win the game and everybody's gonna love you. But then you're gonna have more moments where you swing and you miss the ball and everybody is going to go, should have been me up there. And I said, those lies are gonna get in your head. Those lies of I'm not good enough, all these things are gonna be stuck in your head. But I wanna tell you as your father that this does not define you. You are a leader, you are a good baseball player, and I promise you, we're gonna work hard through the summer and you're gonna be even better next time. And I watched him go from a posture of failures, a posture of feeling it, to going, all right, Dad, let's do it. I said, okay, let's go. And in that moment, I knew I had one job. I could be the loudest voice in his head to tell him who he is, or the failures can. And I want to tell you today, it's the same thing. You are going to fail. You are going to mess up. You are going to do wrong things. You're going to trip up. But can I just tell you, God is not a God that's standing up in heaven screaming at you, said, you should have swung the ball. You should have been better. Our Heavenly Father is just looking for you to put your shoulders back and believe who he says he is, about what he says about you. I don't have a lot of time to go through these, but if you take out your phones, I'd love for you to take a photo. This is just a few of the things that the Bible will say about you. The first one is you are loved. You can take a photo of these. You are never alone. You are forgiven. You are chosen. You are God's child. You have a purpose. You are strong in him. You are not condemned. You are God's masterpiece. You are protected. I'm going to speak to you right now, because I know some of you right here on the shores of your failures. You walked in, you don't even know why you're here, but I'm here to tell you there's a God that's been saying those things over your life before you were even born. You're not a failure. You're not too far gone to be used by God. He's ready for you to drop the nets, get out of the boat, and go do what he's asked you to do. We bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we ask you right here and right now, Lord, you know the story of every single person. Everyone who's worshiping with us online, everybody at Bartow, everybody at North Lakeland, you know all of the things that we've gone through. And God, you're a God that still loves us. You're a God that knows that we're not too far gone to be used by you and be called God. So God, right now I ask you, Father, to search our hearts. Like Pastor Jason preached a few weeks ago, search our hearts, Lord. But find the things that don't need to be in there, God, and create in us a clean, new spirit, God, a new heart, Father, that understands what you say about us. So God, we ask you right now here in this moment, Lord, to allow your voice be the only thing that speaks loud in our life. To drop the things that the enemy's been speaking and just attune our ears to your voice, God. We love you and we thank you. Let every head bowed and every eye closed. You're in here today, or you're joining us online or one of our locations, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you that none of this makes sense until that's the first thing. Some of you are ready to give up, and I'm just telling you that Jesus is on the shore of your failures right now saying, hey, let's go. I'm ready to restore you, cook you breakfast. There's work to be done. There's cities to be taken over by the kingdom of God. And that starts with you. And that starts with this prayer. And if you're in here today and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've walked away like Peter and gone fishing, and you're in here today and you're ready to come back, all I ask you to do is just raise your hand right where you're at. I want to pray with you. I see those hands. Amen. I see those hands at Bartow and North Lakeland. Father, we thank you. I want you to say this in your hands. You can put your hands back down. I want you to say this in your heart. Why I pray this out loud, say something like this: God, I ask you to come into my life. I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready to live for you all the days of my life. Lord, be my King, be my Savior. I believe in you, God. Lord, I wanna live every day for you. Father, I thank you for those people that made that decision, Lord. Flood them with your joy and your happiness and your peace, God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen.